Well, good morning. Oh, yes, Children's Church. I'll start with that. So I guess it's time to dismiss the children for Children's Church. So follow Miss Kim there in the back if you're going. So again, good morning. Steve said my name is Will Barnes. I am a community member. We live in Lewiston. My wife, Claire, just walked out the door, took the kids to church, not because I was preaching. Our two daughters, Ada and Ellie, who are 4 and 2. If you didn't get to meet them, you probably heard them at some point in the first part of the service. I'm really glad to be back with you guys today and to bring God's word to you. So we're friends with the Thompsons. You know, we've been up here for about, you know, almost 4 years now. So we two are from the South. Specifically, we both grew up in Georgia. I do have New England roots. My dad is from Rhode Island, so I grew up with a, you know, New England father and a, you know, a Southern mother, which in the end, you know, no matter where we've lived in the South or up here, people always tell me, you're not from around here, are you? So I'm, you know, used to, you know, hearing that, you know, wherever I go. So with that, I'm glad to be up before you today to talk about the church, simply, you know, the not just the, you know, local church, but God's church, you know, the universal church and the communion of saints. Our text will be from Ephesians, our main text, but we'll, you know, for a topic such as this, you know, we'll be looking, you know, throughout the New Testament. Our main text, if you want to turn there, is Ephesians, you know, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And normally I would appoint somebody to read, and I forgot that step, so I will read myself. But if you would, for those who are able, would you please rise for the reading of God's word? Once you find it. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Father, we seek you now and just thank you for revealing yourself in your word to us. I pray that you would give me your words, not my own, God, and just speak through me in the coming time. I'd be with each of us. God, open up our hearts to receive your message, God, to know you more, Father, and strengthen each of us that we may not only serve this church, but build up each other and your body. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. All right. So I'm going to start with a small confession, right? And probably feels a little strange that, you know, a visiting pastor, you know, hasn't been here since, you know, I think it was January, you know, last time I was here. Back then the windows weren't open, so it's very nice to have the, you know, airflow today. Why would a visiting pastor come and start the confession? Well, I'm referencing just an example from a TV show I haven't watched in a long time, so I don't know if it's even still on or, you know, how it's evolved, you know, over time. So back in the day, you know, back in, you know, high school, to be honest, you know, I was a fan of The Simpsons, right? Is that show still even on? Anybody know? It is, really, still. Wow. Okay. So anyways, so again, I haven't watched it in a while. I'm not saying it's, you know, wrong if you do. I'm just saying that I'm referencing an example of a show that I don't know what's, you know, how it's evolved in today's culture. But there was an episode in which, you know, the family The Simpsons, were leaving the church service, right? They were, driving away from church, and Bart and Lisa, the son and daughter, were, high-fiving each other, celebrating, acting very excited. Marge, the mother, asked, why are you guys, what are you so happy about? What are you celebrating? And they, one of them, can't remember, I couldn't find it on YouTube to get an exact quote, said, "Mom, this is the best time of the week. We had the longest time in the week till we had to go back to church again." And they were excited that they had an entire, 6 days, 23 hours, so they'd be back, at church. And it was funny at the time, and I laughed at that because, I personally grew up in the church, been a part of the church, my whole life, 32 years and counting. I know a few of you guys, good to see some old faces, some new faces. A lot of you don't know my story, nor do I know yours, but, I didn't personally, come to know, Jesus until later in high school. I really didn't start walking as a disciple until college. It kind of resonated. Having grown up as a, church kid, I remember that, feeling very much that, when come time Sunday morning, like, oh boy, what can I possibly do to either, not be there or not, be engaged today? But what I would implore, to each of you today is that, the church, and I'll ask a question in a minute, but, the church, not just, the service, not just this church or, this building, is, a blessing, is, a gift of God, ordained by God, for his people, to serve him, to grow into him, and to, then proclaim him to the lost world that needs him. So before we jump into our points, some folks got an outline, great, and I'll confess too, before I start, there's a few mismatches between the PowerPoint and the outline. That is no fault of anybody but my own. I will say I made some, just-in-time finishing touches to it. They didn't quite make it on the piece of paper, so it's my responsibility, but I'll call that out. Before we jump into that, I want to ask a question, and this is a real question, so feel free to, just answer, shout it out. What is the church? What is church? Anyone want to take a stab at defining it? Shots? CJ.
Yeah, it's the body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Okay. So the church is the body of Christ. Anybody else have another definition, another answer, want to add to that? All right.
Gathering of believers.
The gathering of believers. Okay. The body of Christ, the gathering of believers. Good answers. Any others? Awesome. So, in preparing for this, I read a bunch of, articles, commentaries by, pastors and Bible expositors way more gifted than I, who came up with some elaborate definitions. But versus kind of summarizing and saying my own, I'll walk you through kind of, the passage, kind of through our key points, and pray that each of us, don't come out here with a more fluid answer, but moreover, a deeper conviction for our need, for God's church, and what our role in, God's church is. So, three main points up here. Number one, the church, is God's creation, not man's institution. The church is God's unified, diverse body, pointing each other to Jesus. And lastly, the church is God's vessel for proclaiming the gospel to the world. My first disclaimer, being a geek, I think I put on the outline that the church is God's engine for proclaiming the gospel to the world. I put that in there, that was kind of my, preferred word at first, but not what I intended to use ongoing, and I forgot to change it before it printed. But anyways, use your imagination, engine propels, makes us go, sends us. You can use that metaphor, but, vessel is probably the more biblically astute word to use. So let's jump in, right to our text here. Starting in, verse 11, I'll kind of, let's rewind a little bit. Some brief background of Ephesians. When asked to talk about, the church and the community of saints, I picked this text for a lot of reasons. One, our church is actually wrapping up a series on Ephesians today, so a lot of it was fresh in my mind, just being honest. But also, there's just some rich gospel kind of, throughout the book. Paul, wrote this to the church in Ephesus, and kind of one, I think, interesting distinctive between Ephesians and many of his other letters is that when writing to the church in Ephesus, there wasn't a particular, sin issue or grievance or no kind of major, lamentation he expresses, to the church. He wrote it. Most people believe, he wrote it, while in jail, and that, he's writing to the church in Ephesus, and much of this, talks about, the global church, God's, universal church. There's a lot of rich gospel all throughout. So I want to start us off, look in verse 11. For those of you who have the Bibles, if you don't, I'll just go back to put it up here. You see? And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. I want to stop there. I'm going to focus on just the first three words of verse 11 before we go any further. And he gave. Right? Now, since I'm starting off, my main passage, the word and, that means we need to look to the scripture, immediately preceding it, right? And to get the full picture, I'd encourage you to go back to at least, the beginning of, chapter 4. But I'll just briefly read in your Bibles from, chapter 4, verse 5. Verse 4, excuse me. Chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So the "and he gave," is talking about God himself. And I think this is key to emphasize that God gave these gifts. We'll talk about it in a second here. He gave these gifts to establish, to build, and equip his church. And I think that's kind of the key point I wanted to, drive home first is that, these gifts, are, found in the church, very commonly among church leaders. I wouldn't say exclusively to church leaders, but these gifts are found among the church, but it's God, who put them there, in the first place. I would, throw out, and I'm not going to spend necessarily a ton of time, on spiritual gifts. The specific gifts called out, you might have heard the APEST acronym before and, kind of referring to this passage. He mentions, the apostles, typically, those who, are sent to kind of establish, sometimes, preach the word, but really build up, the church. And again, there's some, discussion or I'll say debate, among scholars about if he's referring to the direct, initial 12 apostles who that Jesus sent to establish the church, or the gift of apostleship ongoing. Not gonna dive into that today, but the type of gifting is fair to say it still exists. Prophets, those who bring a message from God, often through the Word. Evangelist, those gifting and proclaiming the gospel to others, to those outside the church, to those who do not know God. Shepherds, teachers, again, some discussion based on the Greek conjunction use, if shepherds and teachers were intended to be unique gifts or a combined gift. So think about shepherds, those who guide and lead the flock of God. Think about, back in the day, there were shepherds who led sheep. Sheep are not really, self-directed, need, guidance. And, the shepherds kind of put in here, just to specifically, kind of guide and lead, God's, flock. Lastly, teachers, saying, those who, are gifted and called to teach and preach the word of God. So I know I kind of ran through that in quick, bullet point fashion, but really what I want to throw out is that, these are gifts that are used to build up the saints. As I said, gifts of, church leaders and often others, but by no means is this an exhaustive list or complete list of the spiritual gifts. Out of curiosity, who's ever taken a spiritual gifts inventory or test before? Anybody? Okay, good. So I would encourage it if you haven't, right? There's several other gifts besides, these four, these five. Service, hospitality, administration. So what I, don't want people to do is to say, oh, well, I'm not any of those. What's my role of the body? No, we're all, those who are in Christ are all part of God's body. But this, this APEST list, if I may say, is not intended to be a, complete list of spiritual gifts. Jumping to verse 12, talks about to equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Another question I'll ask by hands. Who introduces somebody or introduces themselves as a saint? Anybody? Right? Not normal, right? I don't. I hear this word most often, really outside the church. So a lot of people who know me at work, after whatever, some sort of discussion, usually an amicable one, people will say, man, like, your wife must be a saint. I want to meet her, right? Now, you know, there's probably a little bit, you know, truth to that. But what I want to, you know, pause here and say is that, you know, we're using this word, saints here, is referring to, you know, God's body, you know, to, you know, the believers, right? And there's some rich gospel truth in that, you know. For those of us who are, you know, a new creation in Christ, we are not saints, you know, because we necessarily attain some level of personal, you know, holiness or, personal, definitely not personal morality, right? We're called to be holy, absolutely. But there's rich gospel truth in here. If we look at Colossians 1:11-14, it's not in my PowerPoint, if you want to earmark it, says, may you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I want to pause, you know, early in the passage, you know, just to, you know, celebrate, you know, the beautiful gospel truth, even just in some of the, you know, the words and the text here, and that while we're talking about the church, you know, and the communion of saints, you know, God's church, you know, in the end, you know, does not exist, you know, for its own sake. It exists so that we can, you know, go out, you know, and proclaim the gospel, you know, and make disciples of all nations. We'll hit that more at the end. But there's, you know, throughout Ephesians, throughout this passage, throughout the Bible, there's, you know, rich gospel truth everywhere. And just want to, you know, pause and recognize that here. I'm going to get back on track with my PowerPoint. Next point, Jesus ordained the church. And I may have had a different scripture reference in the outline, so I apologize. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5. We'll skip ahead a little bit, you know, verses, you know, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Here, of course, if you're familiar with Ephesians 5, you know, it makes some, you know, comparisons between, you know, Christ and his church and husbands and wives, you know, and that's not the, you know, again, topic we're diving into today. But I picked this verse. This is a beautiful picture, you know, of, you know, not only Christ loves for his church, but that he has, you know, ordained it, you know, and it, you know, is, you know, washing it clean, you know, and bringing, you know, and redeeming it for him. So I call this out, you know, that, you know, Jesus ordained the church. You know, this is not, a man-made institution. Yes, you know, at some point in time, like a couple hundred years ago, like man's hands, you know, built this building. You know, we did some time restoring it yesterday, but, you know, recognize that we are part of God's church, you know, one that he created. We live in a generation that, especially among, you know, the younger generation, that doesn't necessarily, you know, take to church. I know I've had some discussions, and over the years, you know, professing Christians, one I work with now, I'm in discussion with, who will say, you know, I follow Jesus, you know, I'm a Christian, but wants nothing to do with the church. And not to say that, you know, you may have had some bad experiences or may not have been a part of, you know, a healthy Bible-believing church, you know, but, you know, we say to reject Christ's bride, the church, is to reject Christ himself. You know, there's you know, the Bible truly, you know, does not, you know, recognize, you know, a Christian apart, you know, from his church. The one of my favorite, this is, you know, had a discussion with a friend in college who would tell me that, you know, he didn't go to church because he got what he needed. You know, he would watch his favorite pastor on YouTube and listen to his favorite, you know, music on YouTube. He was done in, you know, short amount of time and got back to, you know, doing whatever he was doing, right? Now, I'll say a couple of things. Number one, I'm guessing he just wanted to sleep in was a real reason, but maybe I was wrong. You know, and the second, you know, the problem, those statements, is a lot of I and my, you know, I get, I like, it meets my need, and we'll come to this later, but, you know, the church is not about, you know, you or me, you know, image, right? You know, us as a body, as we said earlier, you know, serving and honoring God. another, I'll skip that one for now. Last point in section one, favorite verses. God builds his church. He founded it. He gave the gifts that will lead and equip the church, and he builds his church. And I'm going to cite one verse, and I'm always a little bit cautious putting one verse up here. There is context to this. This is Jesus speaking, so please do read the section when you're go back and study. But Matthew 16:18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. Can we just pause for a second and say that's awesome? Like, we rejoice in that just for a second here. Because what that means is, the enemy, the one who does not want the church, to grow, who does not want the church to do gospel, centered kingdom work here on earth, that enemy will actually attack the church. He'll attack, churches, families, pastors. But God, through all this, is building his church, and we rejoice in that and trust that he is advancing, his kingdom. What I'll call it here, take a quick, step back, when he says, I will build, my church, often you'll hear me say, I don't think I've said it yet, you'll hear me say, capital C church and lowercase c church. I don't know where that came from, but you'll see where, God has his universal church, right? He has his church across, the globe. This is Turner Village Church, planted here, but we are a, a subset, of, his larger church. He's building his church. We know that. He told us he would do it. We celebrated earlier some, things that he is doing in this church, which is great. But, what's this mean for, the local church, right? What's this mean for Turner Village or Redemption Hill Community or others, right? Yes, we do pray, for revival. We pray for, the pews to be filled. I'm pretty sure none of us pray for a financial problem or, the roof to leak, right? But even when those things happen and we encounter struggles, which we will, right, we trust that God is building his church, right? Tying back to the, Apostles' Creed, we hear the words, the Holy Catholic Church. Did some, research. I think, most folks would maybe grasp that we're not necessarily talking about Catholic as the denomination or the sect that we would understand yet today. At most, best, one word, if I translate to one word we most commonly use probably is universal, right? He's building, his, universal, his church across, the globe. I think this is one of my, a verse I love, but it's an awesome truth to rejoice in and to use for encouragement, when you or our own church is struggling. Go to my second point here. The church is God's unified, diverse body pointing each other to Jesus. The church is God's unified, diverse body pointing each other to Jesus. I'm going to start back at verse 11, read through verse 13. One thing I say here is, with the rich gospel truth, I always say Paul's English was a little bit of a struggle to read through. So I've, just for fluidity's sake, I'll start back and read through verse 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ. I said before, the church, God's church, is to be united in Christ. What's that mean? We can say a lot about unity. I'll say here, the church, does contain, diverse gifts. It does contain the different parts of the body. Look in a second here, that work together, to build each other up. Or if I might use one of my, favorite biblical analogies, to help each other run the race, as we, those of us who are, in Christ, walking with God, seeking to glorify him and surrender more of our lives to him while we're here on earth, right? But think about the practical side for just one second, unity in Christ. Think about your relationships, within this church, with other believers, Do you have relationships, with anybody with whom, faith in Christ is the one thing you have in common, right? That's all you have in common, right? So if I know all of us, I have, my, inner circle, if you want to call it, you know, of friends, men who are roughly my same age range, same family stage, you know, which is awesome and needed. I'm not negating that. But, you know, to have relationships, you know, with, you know, somebody else who, you know, might be of a different generation, right? Might be of a different ethnicity. I would argue that based on this passage, I meant to read the Acts passage first, right? That I would argue that, you know, these relationships, you know, are, you know, just as key, right? A lot of you probably familiar with Acts 2:42 through 44, but, you know, it essentially, you know, ends with, you know, they had all things in common, right? Because of their faith in Christ, they had all things in common. I think it's especially key in, you know, this generation, when in a lot of ways that, you know, people have kind of, you know, forgotten, in a sense, or, you know, how to, you know, disagree without being divided. And I don't want to jump into necessarily, you know, culture or politics, you know, in this forum. But I think it's safe to say that, you know, the kind of the phrase, you know, tolerance has a little bit been redefined, you know, in recent years. You know, you think like me before, you know, I will accept you, right? You know, the church is called, has always been called, you know, to be counter-cultural to that, right? I will throw out there, you know, that when we say unity, you know, I don't necessarily mean agreement on everything. You know, I do mean, you know, unity. You know, you can disagree without division. The church, you know, has long, you know, had some disagreements, you know, some we'll call, you know, open hand, minor disagreements. Slow down. All right, you say, okay. And then, where are we here? That's right. And then, or, you know, or you may disagree on things like, you know, within church, the order of worship, right? What songs you like, the color of the wall, for example. Think of, for those of us who are married, right, think of unity with your spouse. I'm yet to meet anybody who's been married, you know, for longer than 15 minutes who says, I agree with my spouse on everything, right? So that's not what I'm getting at when I say, you know, unity. You know, I mean unity, you know, in the body, that though we, you know, are different, have different walks of life and different viewpoints, you know, that we are, you know, united, you know, in Christ. Next point, the church builds up the body by equipping the saints, right? The church builds up the body by equipping the saints. Look at this verse here again in 13. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, right? Each of us are, you know, each of us who, you know, are, you know, walking with God, you know, God has began, you know, a good work in us. You know, Philippians 1:6, you know, one of my favorite verses, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord of Jesus Christ, right? If he began that work in you, you know, he does bring it to completion. But what that means is that each of us, you know, while we're here on earth, we are incomplete, right? We are sinful, you know, we're broken, right? We're the gathering of his body, the gathering of the saints, but each of us sin, right? Each of us, you know, still have areas of our life and in our hearts that we have not given over to God. And, you know, we need each other, you know, to encourage and strengthen, to point each other, you know, towards Jesus, right? I'm gonna read verse 14 right quick, and then we'll jump into the rest of it. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, you know, on this, but it's fair to say that, you know, what our world, you know, what the culture, you know, values or says is okay, not okay, good, not good, right, has changed, you know, right? You know, from each, you know, generation or really from, you know, it's the evolution of time that, you know, human doctrine, you know, changes, right? And the only thing in contrast to that is the eternal, you know, everlasting gospel of Jesus that, you know, he came, he died, you know, in our place, you know, to give, you know, those of us, you know, in him, you know, new life. right? And that, you know, Hebrews 13:8, that one of my favorite verses, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the gospel, you know, his message, and that alone is what stands in contrast to, you know, the wind or the wave, you know, of human, you know, cunning. I want to throw out the verse up here from 1st, you know, Corinthians. So there's really a kind of a pretty lengthy parallel passage using this kind of, you know, body analogy. In 1st Corinthians, you know, 12:12, starting in 1 Corinthians 12:12, going all the way on down to verse, you know, 30. But if you read the passage behind me, but so I've got this in my notes. I'm gonna flip over to it real quick. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. There you go. Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, and he goes on, if you can read the, you know, the section down till, you know, chapter 13 and beyond, and also, you know, in our passage, you know, till the end in, you know, verse 16, he spends a lot of time on this, you know, this body analogy. And so I want to think about that for a second and kind of what role, you know, each, you know, you and I play in that. Who here has ever, probably everybody, okay, who here has recently had some form of an injury? Some part of, you know, your body hurt, you know, cut, hurt, okay, got, you know, a few people, right? All of us have, right? I recently, after, you know, playing a sport that I might be, you know, too old to play, I was playing Ultimate Frisbee with some high school and college kids. I didn't keep up with them the whole time, but I did run the best I could. I pulled a tendon in my foot and had some pain afterwards, right? So, you know, iced it, you know, went through all the rehabilitation, but, you know, and the pain consisted for a time, it got better, but for a few weeks, you know, it was just you know, the back of my heel, which was hurting, but for a time, my ability to not just run or play sports, but my ability to, you know, get out of bed, my ability to, you know, maneuver through the house, you know, to, you know, put my kids to bed at work, you know, all those things were affected, right? All because of, you know, one small injury, doing, you know, one, activity. And I think this ties back, you know, to the, you know, the body here, right? You know, each of us play a role in that. I don't know what your giftings are necessarily. I don't know, it says that all of your stories, but I know that each of us have a role, you know, in this body, for those of you who are, regulars here. And that he's using, you know, his body, you know, to build his church and to advance his kingdom. The verse 26, I think, is key, which is the next slide, I'm guessing. This is still in 1 Corinthians 12. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So if one of us, you know, suffers, right? Which if you are, you know, a believer following Christ, you will suffer. You know, there's plenty of other scripture on that. You know, we suffer together, right? God commands us to bear each other's burdens. If, you know, with that, you know, and I'm not, again, getting into a theology of suffering, but with that, you know, if one of us, you know, if we are doing family together, you know, when we are, you know, sinful, broken people pointing each other to Jesus, you know, we inevitably will sin against each other. Right? It's hard, you know, it hurts, but you know, we do, again, you know, walk in unity and, you know, do suffer together, you know, and are called to, you know, build each other up and continue to live as the body through that. With that, there's the more positive side, right? If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. I absolutely love, you know, what we did earlier when, you know, sharing prayer requests, but doing praises first, right? It's easy sometimes, and, you know, oftentimes, we as a church aren't always, you know, the best at celebrating, but we want to always remember, you know, what God has done, right, through, you know, small things you want to say, such as, you know, the grass being green, or healing, and how he's, you know, working this church from yesterday in the work day, you know, to, you know, each day here. So, you know, we suffer together, we rejoice together, you know, and both are clearly, you know, part of, you know, God's plan for the church. Last point, and this one's not in your outline, so I'm sorry. So if you want to write the sentence out, if you'd like to, go for it. Last point, God, in this section, sorry, last point of part two. God uses the church to sanctify us. I'm just going to read back through the rest of the passage. I might do this. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Right? So God uses the church, you know, such that the whole body, which each of us are a part, you know, to grow, you know, more into him. Yes, to be more like him, but ultimately to know him more. You know, sanctification is never an individual activity. It is, you know, given to us, you know, in Scripture as a communal activity. And there's, you know, a longer, you know, theology behind sanctification that's not necessarily today's topic. But know that, you know, that God builds, you know, his church, you know, in his people in the context of community. One of my favorite proverbs, you know, a short, simple one. I would encourage, you know, memorization, or, you know, put it or a piece of paper on your fridge, however you want to do it. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. I think this is a beautiful reminder that God has given us, you know, each other, you know, each other being, you know, unified in Christ, you know, to encourage and build each other. Final part three. The church is God's vessel for proclaiming the gospel to the world. The church is God's vessel for proclaiming the gospel to the world. I'm going to talk about a concept that I've been kind of, you know, praying through and studying through, and really growing in over the past few years, and I got a long way to go, I can tell you that much, is what does it mean to speak the truth in love, right? Verse 15 is one of many places where we as believers are commanded to speak, you know, the truth in love. I threw this proverb up there, right? So remember we had Proverbs 27:17, you know, which, you know, probably more commonly known and encouraging. Go back a few verses to Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What's that mean? It doesn't sound as quite as, you know, what do they call it, bumper sticker scripture, right? You know, you may have Proverbs 27:17 on your fridge or bumper sticker, probably not that one. You know, kind of, you know, pull that out, right? You know, is that, you know, we are, you know, to speak the truth in love. This specific proverb, you know, gets after, you know, that, you know, a biblical, you know, exhortation or rebuke, you know, for sin, you know, done in faith, right? Is a way of, you know, building up the body. But often, you know, we all struggle with kind of this balance of truth and love, right? You know, if we, you know, we love somebody, you know, whether in our immediate family, you know, within our church, right? You know, we want to speak the truth to them, but not in a way that offends them, ideally, right? That be, you know, they should, right? I think, really, there's, you know, kind of, you know, two, there's a lot I could say about this topic, but I'll just, you know, throw it out from a quote from, you know, Tim Keller on this. Just a couple of things. You know, it's not really as a prescription for how to, you know, speak the truth and love in every single situation. You know, the Bible is not a handbook. You know, what you see in the Scripture is, you know, many who are led by the Spirit, you know, sharing the gospel and, you know, loving each other. But Tim Keller says, you know, while there's no, you know, prescription for the balance between truth and love, you know, you cannot be 100% one or the other, or you'll simply be ineffective for the gospel, right? I think really the best way to learn this balance between, you know, sharing the truth and love is look at Jesus himself, right? Especially in the Gospels, you know, Jesus spoke and preached the gospel to a variety of people, you know, societal outcast, you know, known sinners, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, you know, men with disabilities, and some Pharisees. So if you're familiar with the Gospels, you can see that Jesus took a different tone, per se, with Pharisees who thought they were righteous versus, you know, the others who, you know, knew they were sinners. But, you know, was hard enough to break a hard heart, you know, in the end. But speaking of truth and love, you know, which we are to do to the outside world, we'll come back to that, it must first be done within the church, right? A lot of verses I could have, you know, thrown out there, but keep it. One of my favorites, Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Right? This is a specific, you know, command, you know, to the body that we are to exhort, you know, and to build up each other. If you're doing, you know, life together, you know, if we are family, you know, inevitably, you know, we're gonna, you know, catch wind, or, you know, be aware of, you know, other sin, other struggles, right? But I would say is that what this does not look like necessarily is, you know, parading around, you know, with the Bible, trying to, you know, slap people beside the head with it. You know, it is a desire to see others, you know, come to know God more, to repent, you know, of sin, you know, and to point them towards Jesus. There's kind of, you know, two, you know, opposite, I'll say opposite, I'll say two ways that, you know, churches tend to struggle. You know, unrepentant sin, within the church will absolutely sink a church. You know, it will. That's why we're commanded to exhort each other. That's why there's the, you know, protocol of church discipline given in Matthew 18. There's also, on the other side, I've talked to a lot of people from this area, not necessarily Turner, but, you know, in Lewis and Auburn and Greater, you know, who come from very kind of legalistic backgrounds, churches with a lot of rules, and very clear, you know, consequences for the rules, but, you know, sharing, you know, the grace of the gospel, and allowing for, you know, repentance and pointing to Jesus wasn't always, you know, the message they grew up with. So I just want to encourage you guys, just and as you're, you know, walking in, you know, community, that we, you know, take advantage and we use, you know, the time together, whether in here or else otherwise. We'll talk more of that later. That we exhort each other. It's a call and it's really a privilege to walk with Jesus, not by ourselves, but together, and to point each other towards him. Lastly, final point. Right here. All right, who knows what we up here? Christ's body is to be known for its love for one another, such that others may come to know him. One of my favorite verses, I would also encourage, you know, I mentioned putting up in the fridge earlier, I'd also encourage memorization here. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Just a beautiful, you know, verse, beautiful command, you know, from Jesus, that we are to love, you know, each other as a body. And we're to be known for our love, you know, to the outside world. But it's key to remember that our love of each other as Christians, God's aim in that, and his, you know, one of his goals, you know, in while we're here on earth to do that, is that others come to, you know him. I'll throw in an example. In our church, we run off Facebook. We have a Facebook page, you know, as you guys do, and, you know, there'll be requests coming through every so often to bring people meals, right? Somebody who's had a baby, going through a challenging situation, health-wise or otherwise, and there's an opportunity to bring them a meal. Take them a meal, I think it's called. So that comes up a bit. But also times to take a meal to somebody outside of a church. And while that's great, so I'm glad for both, don't get me wrong, but we personally kind of been just kind of prioritizing and praying through how to serve, where we always try to bring somebody inside the church a meal first. Why is that? They're our church body. They're our, you know, brother and sister, especially within our, you know, local church context. But also recognizing that, you know, our love of that fellow brother or sister or brothers and sisters is aimed at drawing more and more into God's kingdom. I would also point to the next one. There we go. Another verse from Matthew 5:16. Again, single verse, so if you want to read more of a chapter when you get the chance, that'd be great. But it says here, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So, sharing the gospel with others absolutely involves, words and preaching it. Many of you are probably familiar with the Great Commission, giving in Matthew 28:18-20, where we are to make disciples by baptizing and teaching all the nations. But specifically, here it calls out that our deeds are what we do within the church and elsewhere is to be a help us be a unified light that we may shine before others and people may see the glory of God and come to know the glory of God. So I'll throw out just some points in closing here. One, this is a common expression. You've probably heard it. It has so many sources. I honestly can't, come to one, person or group that quoted it, but we are the church. We don't just go to church, but we are the church. And I say personally, I'm going to church or I'm going to Turner Village Church today or wherever, which is, fine. Just notice, the biblical, language points us to that we are the church, and we are a part of, not this, this church, but God's universal church. What we do here in the Sunday service is very important. Coming together as his body, worshiping God through music, worshiping God through the word, through prayer is awesome. I would implore you guys, though, that, this forum here, really, it's might be the most important thing we do as a body, but it can't be the only thing that we do as a body. Why do I say that? I believe it's key that we seek God, together, through his word and through prayer. All right? John 17:17 says, sanctify them in your truth, your word is truth. I'm a believer. I'm a strong, advocate of, spending time with God in his word. It's in the morning by on your kitchen table drinking coffee. That's great, okay? But I believe seeking God through the word and prayer as a body is also key. I'd also ask you, when's the last time you had another, church member or another believer in your home just for the sake of fellowship? Was it this past week? Past month? Can't remember? I don't know. Regardless, I kind of, encourage you to kind of think through that. Just an example that Claire and I were talking about this week is there was another lady in the church that Claire actually saw, six times in the past 8 days. Right? That's not normal, I promise. It may sound weird to you. I hope I'm not giving, Redemption Hill any bad press here. But suffice it to say that, we might be intentional about spending time, honestly, out of this, forum. Pray for God's church, the global church, the Holy Catholic Church. A lot of ways to get connected with what God's doing, beyond, just Turner Village. There's a season of literature downstairs, in the past. We talked about supporting missionaries earlier. There's lots of ways to get plugged in with what he's doing, outside of this, church body. I'll kind of draw it in just to kind of encourage you guys to say that, remember, we are all surrounded, by a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12:1, which, includes the saints in Turner Village, but also, beyond. And remember that, for the God's church, as the institution that he made, he ordained, he is building, is upon us all, in the gospel. The one disclaimer I'll throw out there, that is, the only thing I said, I'd like to remind everybody, is that, being in church does not make you a Christian, right? This does not define our walk with God, does not define us as, creation in him, but is the joy we have, to worship and serve together. God, he's rescued his people, from sin, and because of his great love for them, he's seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, that way we have eternal life and, worship with him for eternity. Well, he's given us his word for today, that every follower of Christ should be committed to each other under the authority of his church, such that we can be a unified light and draw others unto him. Let us rejoice in that truth and that privilege. I will close us in prayer. Father, I thank you for this body. We thank you for your body, your church, and how you've just called us to be a part of it. I pray for Everyone in here, God, that for those of us who know you and are walking with you, God, that you just strengthen and build us and just give us a greater love for your church, knowing that the end is not just other believers, God, but the chance to just proclaim you to those who need you. For anyone here who may not know you or not sure, God, I ask that you just give them conviction, show them the gift of just new life through your Son, that you've given us Jesus, who committed no sin and died for our sin, that we may be redeemed and know you, Father. Pray for this body. I ask that you continue to build it for not our own plan or our own will, but yours. Praise in your Son's name. Amen.
Well, thank you, brother.